Karen Hall is a retired environmental engineer and author who lives outside Rapid City. Her first book, featuring Hannah Morrison, Unreasonable Risk, is a thriller about sabotage in an oil refinery. Her second Hannah Morrison mystery is Through Dark Spaces, and in this book, Hannah takes an environmental consulting job in Lee Deadwood and discovers that somebody is poisoning the water. Karen Hall is also the president of the Black Hills Writers Group, which has just released a new anthology, Granite Island, Amber Sea, and she joins us from her studios at the Dahl Art Center in Rapid City. Karen Hall, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Thanks, Carl. I appreciate the invitation.
Let's start talking about your Hannah Morrison mysteries. Do they come out of your own background as an environmental engineer? Is that where the inspiration came from?
They do. I worked for almost 10 years in an oil refinery in Minnesota, that's owned by the Koch brothers, and that's where Unreasonable Risk came from. I was really interested in the fact that a lot of people don't know very much about industry. The oil industry touches everybody every day, and people know very, very little about it. And, you know, rather than lecture, I decided that the best way to introduce people to refining would be to entertain them in the process. And I think Unreasonable Risk is a pretty good mystery.
How difficult is that to help people understand what's going on in these industries that we're unfamiliar with, but then have entertaining yarn going on as well?
Well, it's really tough because all of the action takes place in kind of a foreign landscape. It's almost like science fiction. So it's difficult to introduce the industry and keep the reader engaged. In Through Dark Spaces, my mining industry, mystery, that grew out of an experience that I had in the Homestake mine. I was a guest of an employee into the mine in, I think it was 1980 or 81, a long time ago. But boy, did that experience live in my memory. It was amazing. It was so frightening. And I knew as soon as I came out of that mine that someday something would come out of that experience. So I started the book with an incident in the mine to introduce everybody to, you know, the possibilities for disaster in mining. And so by the end of the book, when things roll around to the culmination, people sort of have a better understanding of what to expect.
Was that the only time that you were in a mine, 1980-81?
No, actually, when I was living in Minnesota, I traveled to northern Minnesota to the Sudan mine, which has an underground research lab in it. And I took the mining tour and I took the lab tour as well. Fabulous tour. If you ever get a chance to go up there, they're looking for subatomic particles with detectors that are beamed through solid rock from the Fermi lab in Chicago. It's just, it's so bizarre, but very, very interesting scientifically.
So something along the line of what's going on at the Stanford labs in Lead.
Exactly. Yep, exactly.
You mentioned that sort of the experience of going down in that mine the first time, calling that up, in writing Through Dark Spaces, was that sort of a difficult time? I guess I don't know how you feel about being in those dark, cramped spaces, being in a mine.
Well, it was truly a remarkable experience. We got into an elevator, looked like a freight elevator with metal slats for sides, and they started rolling us down. The cable rolled us down into the mine, and it went so fast that it felt like we were being dropped down a well. It was terrifying. And we got down to the 4850 level and walked through a big open maintenance barn and got on a train and went laterally into the mine and then up into a stope where the actual mining takes place. And our guide at that point said, "Why don't you guys all just turn off your headlamps?" And we did. And I could feel my eyes open as wide as they could, just in search of any stray lumen of light. And of course, there was nothing. And it made me realize how incredibly dangerous the profession of mining is. And it gave me an enormous respect for people who live their working lives in that environment. it was not a life-changing experience, but it certainly has lived with me.
In writing through Dark Spaces, how factual did you try to be? How much did you try to make sure that what you were writing about was pretty close to the truth? What happens in a mine?
I did. I talked to a lot of miners. I spent a lot of time at the Homestake Visitor Center, and when there were rumors that the mine was going to close early in the last decade, I came back to South Dakota and took the surface tour because I'd been underground, but I hadn't really paid much attention to what happened above ground once the ore came out of the ground. So I took the surface tour and talked to a lot of people, and since the book has been published, I've given copies to a couple of miners and some citizens from Lead, and have heard back that they think it's pretty accurate. I did hear from one guy that he thought there were probably a few too many near-death experiences, but you know, that's what makes a mystery good.
Now, this, as mentioned, is your second mystery featuring your character, Hannah Morrison. How would you describe her?
Well, in the first book, In Unreasonable Risk, I think I made her too perfect. And in this book, Through Dark Spaces, I really wanted to round out her character a little bit. And she's made some mistakes, and she's working to save her company, which is struggling. And she ends up with some issues. She has sibling rivalry issues with her sister, who turns up in this book. And I think she's much more human now, although she's pretty capable and gets herself out of some pretty difficult situations.
Now, in this book, she has her own company, as you mentioned, an environmental consulting firm. And
yep.
She's been hired by one mining operation in Lee Deadwood that wants to purchase another. Maybe you can give us a little more about what, you know, just kind of set up the story a little bit.
Okay. Hannah is hired by Aureus Mining Company, which is a fictional Homestake, because they want to buy a heap leach operation, sort of like Wharf Resources Mining Company, because they are in a situation very much like Homestake was in, where they were mining so deep in the ground that it was economically not viable to pull ore out. There wasn't enough gold in the ore to make it worthwhile to pull it from that depth. So they were considering reprocessing ore that was near the surface, which is basically what Homestake did with the open cut. And so the company, Aureus Mining, hires Hannah to look at what it will cost to remediate the site after they finished reprocessing their ore. And she's not a mining expert, and she has a lot of doubts about her capabilities in this area. So it's an interesting setup, I think.
The book takes place in Lee Deadwood. Is it fun to take your characters and then put them into these real places?
It is. I have to say, all my favorite restaurants are in the book. and actually, I did make up one, the Ore House. Cafe in Lead is totally has sprung from my imagination. I wanted to have a place that was kind of just a community get-together spot, and I didn't know of any place like that in Lead, so I just made one up.
Do you start out writing these books knowing what the mystery is, and then you write from there, or does it develop as you're writing?
Well, you know, I'm an engineer, so I have to plot everything out ahead of time. In my first book, I wrote a very detailed outline and got a third of the way through the book, and my characters wouldn't go where I wanted them to go. They had become people that were different from what I had expected when I did the outline, so I had to replot the entire second half of the book. So my outline for Through Dark Spaces was a little looser this time because I did have a whole lot of new characters, it being a new situation. And one of the reasons that I decided to have Hannah become a consultant is because she can change her location and look at lots of different industries as the series develops. I really wanted to shy away from the Cabot Cove syndrome, where, you know, somebody dies every week in the community that your character lives in. So she's going to be moving on to a different industry in the next book.
You're listening to the Dakota Midday Book Club on South Dakota Public Broadcasting, and we're talking with Rapid City writer Karen Hall. Her new book is Through Dark Spaces. And Karen, you're also the president of the Black Hills Writing Group, and we should mention that because the group has just come out with a brand new collection. A couple of your stories are in there. It's called Granite Island, Amber Sea, Writings from the Black Hills and Plains. How are the stories chosen for this book?
Actually, we sent the call for submissions out about a year ago, and we got a lot of response. We sent it to as many area writers as we could, as we knew of, and we sent it to high schools and colleges and writing groups, and got a lot of response back. It was very difficult to select pieces from the huge number that we got. We think that it's a pretty great collection, though. There's really something for everybody in there. There's a photo essay by South Dakota Public Broadcasting's contributor Victoria Wicks that's really fabulous. There's a piece by syndicated humor columnist Dorothy Rosby. Those of you who read the Rapid City Journal will know her work. Sandra Brannon contributed her very first short story. It's just a really moving tribute to her father. It takes place in World War II, and for that alone, it's worth the price of the book. There's a hilarious story by Jared Ritberger, who is a local writer who is so totally not politically correct. The title of his story is Killing a Prairie Home Companion, so you can guess it's a really funny story. There's also an essay by Vermilion's Jerry Wilson about spring and the processes of spring that is just beautiful, and lots of great poetry. So I hope people will seek it out.
That's Granite Island, Amber Sea. Now, there's a wide variety in the book, as you're just talking about. Were you trying for that, or does that just simply reflect the diverse nature of writers in the Black Hills?
I think it really does just reflect the diversity of writers. We were really surprised at how much poetry we received, and it was really wonderful, very evocative of the hills and plains in this area. The stories, of course, are a little bit different because we have a mystery, we have some horror stories, we have some supernatural stuff. There's a story about Bigfoot on a School of Mines campus. It's pretty amazing, the diversity of writers in the area.
Before we let you go here, mention a little bit about the Black Hills Writing Group. You're currently president of that organization. How important is it to have this group to your own work?
Oh, for me, it's really important. Writing is such a solitary profession that the opportunity to meet with other people who are having the same experience is really important. And we do a lot of different activities at the group. We have presentations on craft. We talk about the publishing industry, and which is currently in kind of a crazy state. We talk about things as mundane as grammar. We read from our work, and we've actually spawned several critique groups for much more in-depth work, and that's helpful for everybody. It keeps us writing. It's a reason to write, and it's one of the cardinal rules is, put your butt in the chair every day, and sometimes that's really hard. But if you have a group that's expecting you to produce things, you're much more likely to do that.
Now, these two books, Through Dark Spaces and Granite Island, Amber Sea, if people are interested in finding these, where can they find them?
In Rapid City, you can find them at Mitzi's Books at Main Street Square and also at Everybody's Bookstore on West Main Street. They might be harder to find in local bookstores elsewhere in the state, but you can get trade paperbacks and ebooks of both of them through Amazon.com. If you just type in Granite Island, Amber Sea or Through Dark Spaces in your browser, you'll come up with those. They're very reasonably priced. They're both trade paperbacks. So, for Christmas presents, we got to say, it's not a big expense. And also, they'll both be for sale this weekend at the Dahl Fine Arts Center's Christmas Bazaar, which is this evening from 4 to 7 and tomorrow from 10 to 7. So come on down.
Well, Karen Hall, thanks so much for taking the time to join us on Dakota Midday.
Sure. Thank you, Carl. I appreciate it.
Rapid City writer and retired environmental engineer Karen Hall's latest book is Through Dark Spaces, and she's also the president of the Black Hills Writers Group, which has just released a new anthology, Granite Island, Amber Sea.